The infinite has made me to be. Thus indeed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. St. John. When we incorporate this truth in our daily living, our opportunities increase a millionfold, and it takes praying more and more out of the realm of speculation and gives expectation a logical and reasonable foundation. Thus, we are reminded of the Master's words, "When you pray, believe ye have received, and you shall have." That first portion in John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh." This is the great truth of the living Christ in each and every one of us. It is the God in each and every one of us. I say the Christ because it is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Therefore, God himself dwells in every living soul because it cannot be divided. Even you and I seem separated, yet there can be no separation because the infinite cannot separate himself, otherwise he could not be infinite. Therefore, it is not a separate living, but a one living in each and every one of us. An individualization of the infinite spirit, but not a separation of that spirit. And it is this great truth that the Master showed, and it is this truth that I want you to see too, because I can see the mind of the Master, how clear it was in regard to this great truth. And when we incorporate this truth in our daily living, our opportunities increase a millionfold, and it takes praying more and more out of the realm of speculation and gives expectation a logical and reasonable foundation. And that is so true. Now, when he said these words, "When you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have," here was the truth about what I am trying to show you. That when a person prayed for something, we always prayed with the idea that they lacked this thing. And it was something that was separate and distinct from them, naturally. How could it be anything else to them but a speculation? A speculation whether they would get it or not. But when he said these words, "When you pray, believe you have received and you shall have," meaning truly if the individual recognized the Spirit and saw that the Spirit was the animating, the Word that was in the beginning, and the Word was God, Word was with God, and the Word was God and was made flesh, that individual knew that whatever he prayed for, believing he had received, he should have. I want you to see this clearly because it's so definite. But if you're caught up in the relative all the time, that is to say, you haven't realized this great inner realm, but while you are caught up in the relative, then you will never know the Master's words, never know the meaning of his words, "When you pray, believe you have received and you shall have." The reason is not far distant to look, and here it is. Most people seldom think of what they have, but what they lack. And no matter how much you have, you'll always look for that which you lack. Perhaps perhaps some people make a success of their lives because of the fact that they have found that which they lack and continually going on to replace it. But every time they tried to replace it, they found there was still a lack, and that lack became greater and greater. And they were caught up in that lack. And how did they end themselves? In distress, sickness, in heart failure, and all these other things. Perhaps they got all these things, but in doing so, they destroyed themselves. But you can have all these things without destroying yourselves if you knew what the Master meant and saw clearly his statement. And I'm going to show you what this means. Most people seldom think of what they have, but what they lack. This is the greatest mistake that man can make. In fact, it is a tragedy. It has caused more misery, more mental anxiety than anything else. It has caused more physical troubles than all the diseases in the world. Because nearly every one of your troubles come about from anxiety, from always concentrating upon what you lack. This naturally comes about from this inward poverty. You cannot satisfy this inward poverty because you do not know how to satisfy it. But immediately you discern your thinking, your acting, and where your mind is moving, you will see what you are doing. And by doing so, then you'll be able more clearly to realize that which is real, that which can fill this inward poverty, that can satisfy this inward poverty. But this inward poverty can never be satisfied through the relative, never. And there is no use of anybody trying it because they will never do it. It will only come through the realization of reality. The universe is full of wonderful things, patiently waiting for us to use them. This reminds me of the Master's words, if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say into the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How wonderful was his great understanding. A grain of mustard seed. You know how small a grain of mustard seed is, how very small it is. So he recognized very clearly that we had very little faith. But he said, if you have that modicum amount of faith, you can do these things. Search in your own minds then if you can see how much faith you have. Where is your faith based? How is it based? Is it based upon outward things, the relative world, or is it based upon reality? Is it based upon the Word that was with God and the Word that was God and the Word that was made flesh? Or is your dependence upon things that are external to the self? Analyze your thoughts, discern your thinking, and see how much faith you really have. You have already been told that the atom is a vortex of energy in the ether of space. This unknown substance that supports all things, right around us here and through us, there is tremendous forces, tremendous amount of energy, and we're just beginning to see how we can split it up and destroy people, things. We just heard the other day the idea that we should drop atomic bombs on somewhere in this world to overcome the difficulties. And then we all say that we are divided ourselves up into aggressive nations and peace-loving nations. And one group will say, we are peace-loving nations and you are aggressive nations. And the other will say to the other group, you are aggressive nations and we are peace-loving nations. But I can tell you that there is no such thing as a peace-loving nation. There is no such thing as peace-loving nations at all, because we are all aggressive. Wherever you have separation, you must have aggression. Wherever you have divisions in nations and nationalism and nations and in people and religion and economic frontiers and all these things that separate people, you are sure to have aggression. You can't have anything else but aggression. Unity exists now, and we haven't discerned it yet. We haven't recognized it yet, because we haven't discerned which way we were moving. And we ourselves have brought about all these troubles. We ourselves have brought about the war and this condition in the world. You're not separate from it. Don't think that you, yourselves, are not responsible for it. Because if you look into the world, you will see it's the exact copy of your own minds now. And if you will realize this and try and discern your mental attitude towards things and people, you will see how clearly I am talking to you. And you will see how surely the whole story is true. We got ourselves into this mess, and we only can get ourselves out. We have built up the structure and the culture in which we live. We have nominated and put into power the people that we have, by our own minds, brought about. We've brought about a world, the exact copy of our own mental attitude. Now think it out, and you will see how true it is. I am reasoning divinely now. I'm trying to show you how you are also responsible for the atomic bomb, for the conditions in Korea, for the conditions in Germany, for the conditions in Russia, for the conditions around you, and yet you blame the other chap. How stupid. Yet you haven't discerned your own mentality, your own minds, to see exactly what are your thoughts, what are your emotions, what are your motives, and what do you think. So we see in this surrounding us a tremendous force, and we have just recently found how to split it and use it for destruction. The coming together of these vortices create matter, as we know it, according to the law of attraction, which is incorporated in the thought expressed. Faith is the mental activity that is kept in one direction until the finished product is established, which, Paul says, that the world was formed by faith through the word of God. We have not yet seen the great power within ourselves when faith becomes a mental activity that is kept in one direction until the finished product is established. Ether is the basis of matter, the framework in which matter is built. Ether responds to mind and forms according to the image in the mind. So you are responsible for your own troubles. You're responsible for everything, because you brought it back, and you alone can change it. The because you have not really recognized the truth that is the Spirit within you. You are really the Spirit, but you are ignorant of the fact that you are the Spirit. Because you're caught up in the relative. All the things are outside. Therefore, you put your faith on these things and not in this thing that is all creative. The Word that was with God, and the Word that was God, and the Word that was made flesh. In this way, our images are fortified against the destructive attack made upon them by doubt, worry, fear, apprehension. It allows God to operate in our affairs, which promise satisfactory fulfillment. Here we see that when we recognize this truth, what we try to do, what we create in our own minds through the Spirit within, knowing this truth, is fortified against the destructive attacks made upon you by doubt, worry, fear, apprehension. It allows God to operate in our affairs, which promises satisfactory fulfillment. In the Master's words, were quite plain. It is the Father, whoever remaineth within me, is performing his own deeds. What the Son sees the Father do, the Son does likewise. The formulae I have created is day by day in every way God is making me better and better. This is a formula that the mind holds on to. Sometimes it is difficult for the individual to comprehend the real truth of the Spirit that is working, the Spirit that is thinking, the Spirit that is acting, because the Spirit itself is caught up in the relative and is lost in the relative and no longer knows its own power. And because it fears the things external to itself, it's lost in that fear, in that doubt, in apprehension. So therefore, the mind, to a great extent, is filled with so many ideas that battle with one another, opposing ideas. Because immediately you think of health, you think of ill health. Thought of ill health rises up to the mind, therefore it combats it. Because the mind is the world of opposites. The Spirit alone is single. Because in the world of opposites there are always the two. That is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Two. Spirit is one, life. The other is two, the dual nature of things, which leads you astray. The reason I have made this formula, day by day in every way, God is making me better and better, because it is a truth, for the divine nature is always working in us for our good. When we discern our adverse thinking in the light of this truth, it tends to dissolve away, for error and truth cannot exist at the same time. We see clearly then that there is always one that is uppermost. If the error is established in the individual, and the individual is concentrated upon the error, therefore the error is what we call manifested. But if the individual turns away from the error, recognizing it, having no power of its own, and begins to think of the truth that nature is always working in us for our good, he says, quietly in his own mind, day by day in every way, God is making me better and better. That is the truth. Fear is soul murder. And when we know this truth, fear dissolves away. No wonder Jesus so repeatedly told us, fear not, be not afraid. I always think that fear is the greatest sin that man has. Because anything that prevents the true life manifesting itself through men is a sin. Therefore, I say fear is the greatest sin that man has ever had. Because what is fear? Fear of evil is the greatest sin that man has ever had in his life. Fear of evil. Job says, that which I fear has come upon me. Be not afraid. He knew the penalizing effect of fear upon every organ of the body. He knew how it deranged the whole system, how it caused stomach troubles, the stomach paralyzed with effects of fear. Fear also causes heart troubles, nerve troubles, and sleepless nights. Here we have fear as the greatest of all sins that man can commit. Fear of fear. He knew how the fear of lack affected his disciples. For when they asked him that they wanted this and that, he taught them how to pray, believing that they had received and they should have. This same truth will banish fear from the minds of man today. Think of it. That very truth that I have told you. And how does this fear disappear? If you're caught up in fear, it will not disappear. But if you can discern your fear and know that you are fearing, then it can disappear because you will know it for what it is. Then you will know and realize the great truth, the word that is within you, the word that was made flesh, was with God and was God, and therefore is God. And Jesus knew that paralyzing fear. How often did he say to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Why are you fearful? Have you no faith yet? I can hear him saying those words to his disciples because I know perfectly well how fear in the hearts of most people do trouble them greatly. And I could say it too many. Why are you fearful? Have you no faith yet? So Jesus was teaching his disciples, yet they had fear. We saw the other day that his disciples were so afraid that one of his disciples denied him 3 times before he realized what he was doing. Another would have no faith at all. He wouldn't believe until he pushed his hand into his side and looked at his hands and feet. Others ran away when he got into trouble because they were afraid. One man stood without fear because he knew the truth. This same truth will banish fear from the mind of man today. If Jesus lived today, he would still be the greatest teacher. He showed us the way to banish the demon fear and all its offspring. When you challenge these oppressors of the soul, they will disappear like mist before the rising sun of faith. These fear thoughts are the enemies of man's peace of mind. But man alone gives them power, and as man has made them, so can he dispel them. No one else has created the fear. Only man has created. God didn't create it in you. His spirit remains ever abiding, eternal. The unfolding of the Spirit of God in man is opening up more and more the mind of man to see that realm which is the kingdom of heaven within upon which the Christ is enthroned. We must be careful not to allow our consciousness to be caught up wholly in our fleshy garments, but to understand the true nature of the mind and body. They are vehicles for the expression, and through them you gain experience. We are told that in divine mind there is the divine consciousness, the director, the divine intelligence fulfilling the direction of the consciousness, and the divine substance in which all forms take place in all planes, spiritual, mental, and physical, in heaven and on earth, in the inner and the outer, in the invisible and the visible, because one is but the expression of the other. Therefore, if we recognize the divine consciousness as the director, we'll know there is divine without fault of any kind, without fear of any kind, and knows all things because it is God who created the universe and all things that is in it. The intelligence is the active principle that obeys the director. Like the body, the intelligence in the body will obey the consciousness if the consciousness is aware that the intelligence will do so. And this intelligence will work for the benefit of you and your body. In what? In this divine substance, out of which all and in which all forms are created. In all planes, spiritual, mental, and physical. In heaven and on earth. The inner and the outer. So this one substance we have seen, which science calls the ether of space, is a substance out of which everything is created. And in that substance is the atom itself. The atom is also in this and in you and me. The intelligence is working through the atom. The intelligence is the energy that is working through the atom, forming molecules, cells, organs by the intelligence, working through those atoms. And remember what an atom is, a tremendous power. Yet the intelligence is the directing power of this, and the consciousness is the director of all. And besides, because you don't know it, then you have no power over your body. You allow your body to be moved according to the thoughts generated in your mind, according to your reaction to conditions external to yourself. Habit patterns are created in your mind and body. Then, because you feel these things and the body talks back, then you have vicious cycle. With these three, consciousness, intelligence, and substance, all is made, and is made in heaven and on earth. This we see also takes place in our lives. And in the first chapter of John, Eastern text reads, "The Word was in the beginning, and that Word was with God, and God was that Word. The same was in the beginning with God, and everything came to be by his hand. And without him, not even a thing came to be of what was created." Consciousness, intelligence, and substance coordinating in perfect unison reveals the life, organizing the atoms, cells, organs into a complete body, which is the temple of the living God, and keeps it in repair according to plan. What we have to do is to discern adverse thoughts and emotions that interfere with divine creation, and discerning the errors in the mind, we dissolve them. But if someone comes along and plants a seed of error in your mind, that seed will probably grow until such time as you discern it was an error. And very often, unconsciously, these seeds are sown in the individual mind and grow forth as the various troubles which we see every day. I also say again that a consciousness of lack is the cause of most of our troubles. Being unable to fill that inward poverty, we can never do it by things external to ourselves. In this higher knowledge, we do not repeat hundreds of mantras or sayings that cloud the mind, as they generally bring up their opposites. For when you say, I am well, there is something that rises up and says, you are not well, and you damn well know it, you're not well. And this is what rises up in your mind, because your mind is double. The mind has health and ill health. And when health is up, ill health is sometimes down, but it's always crawling up to the top. And whenever you say health, you have ill health. Therefore, people are continually saying mantras all the time. I am this and I am that. If you are ignorant of the truth, it is better for you to say health, strength, life, love, wisdom, thinking of these qualities in an abstract way, not from an individual point of view that they are in yourselves, but looking upon them as a universal thing, totally distinct and separate, not only in yourself, but completely in the whole universe. Therefore, you see something in an abstract form that is itself true. By doing so, you get round that particular double-minded creature which is within you. This was brought home to me simply when I visited a dying man. He was trying to hold on to his body by repeating sayings. And what little strength he had was being used up. I said, what are you trying to do? He said, I'm trying to live. I replied, stop saying these things, because you're only creating a struggle within yourself. Just breathe easily and deeply and know that breath is life. As he started to breathe, he lost his fear, and life returned to the body. Had he kept on with his mantras, he would have surely passed on. Breathe, I said. His whole mind was taken away from his mantram, which is brought up the opposite all the time, struggling all the time to live. But when he breathed, he knew he was living. So therefore, he lived. Another case of mantras was when a new thought student became very ill. She said, I have repeated every saying I can think of, but I'm getting weaker and weaker. No wonder. What more can I say? I told her also that she is struggling inside her mind. Life was real. Just breathe it in and know all is well, and she got well. But had she kept on with her mental struggle, she would have passed out. There are hundreds of such cases that prevent the spirit from acting naturally because of the struggle that goes on in the mind. Please think about this. It's most important. I'm told through spiritual means that the action of life is like a chemical reaction in the substance which blends atoms, molecules, cells, and manifests itself in the form of a body, a continuous animation of numberless number of reactions is kept up. This is the action of life, yet life is infinite in nature. And supreme, I am the light, the master says, and this is the same for you and me. So life itself is manifesting itself. And in other words, they said that God makes things by becoming the things he makes. We must remember that every mental state has a corresponding physical state. Change of mind means change of body. Sorrow causes tears. Fear causes the body to tremble. When we elevate our minds through understanding, we free ourselves from many of the perplexities that haunt us daily. We will find that heaven is in the mind, for thoughts make us miserable or happy. Yes, think of that. Jesus says to us again in 20th century language, The kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of joy, of peace is within you. What's wrong with you? Why disturbed? Then count your blessings one by one is our greatest asset. It creates mental harmony. Ask yourself, would you sell your eyes for £10,000? What would you take for two legs and your two arms? What would you take for your children, your family, those who you love and those who love you? Add up your assets and you will find that you are richer by far than if your coffers were filled with gold and diamonds. Remember, you can express only what is in your consciousness. Then see that your consciousness is filled with truth, understanding, and love. These three get you anywhere in the world and beyond it. It reminds me of the story of the person who asked the question, what do lawyers do when they die? And the fellow said, they lie still. I could tell you hundreds of stories of people who have made themselves over in a short time just by being themselves. The problem of being unwilling to be yourself is behind many failures, many headaches, many neuroses, many inferior complexes. The craving to be something that you are not makes you a second-rater. There is a saying that to copy another is the essence of flattery to the one being copied, but to the one copying it means disaster. You cannot get anywhere playing the ape or the parrot. This is the safest advice I can give you. Drop at once trying to be someone else and be yourself, and you will be a success. Never mind the other fellow. If these actions and ways intrigue you, they are not for you. Be yourself. No one wants a counterfeit coin. God made you the way He wanted you to be. This is to be yourself. Do not waste years of your life in trying to imitate. You are original yourself. God made you original. That is your success. That is your great power. Your originality as God has made you. And it is originality that succeeds. With all your faults, with all your mannerisms, they are yours, and there your true experience lies in being yourself. In this way, we progress towards the unbounded reality of our existence. We recognize nature's majestic handiworks of something infinitely greater that overwhelms and transcends our finite conception. Yet within each one of us is the spiritual essence, a latent power with unlimited possibilities. Then let us find ourselves and be ourselves as He made us. With this understanding, we'll progress from victory to victory. How often great actors have begun trying to imitate another actor, and what a great flop they were, until some person came along and said to them, you know, you are really an actor yourself if you would just act yourself and not try to act some other person. And immediately they began to act themselves. They were a complete success. Originality in the individual. There was one actress who was a singer on the stage, and she had a great big mouth, went from nearly ear to ear. And all the time she tried to squeeze it in to make it small, so she could speak with the mouth small.
Only you see, it was a flock. But somebody saw her laughing, and he said, "Do you know you have the most infectious laugh that I've ever seen?" And then she squeezed up her mouth and she said, "Do you think so?" He said, "That's not the way." But he says, "Laugh the way you laughed a few minutes ago." And she laughed, and he says, "That's your success. Now go out and laugh like that." And when she went onto the stage and laughed with this great mouth from ear to ear, they broke the house down. She was a success straight off the reel. Now, I'm telling you these great things because of the fact that most people are trying to act the other person. You have qualities, no matter if you have a mouth from ear to ear. It makes no difference. Or if your nose comes over your mouth, it makes no difference. Or if your eye turns this way or that way, or whatever the case may be, you don't have to worry about it. I remember after I lost this eye of mine in the First War, it was knocked out, and I got an artificial eye in. And when I was talking to people, I used to put my hand up like this to my eye, and I used to close my eye and talk like this, and try and hide the eye because I was sensitive about it. I have begun to realize what a DD fool I was. And I didn't care then, and I found that I was free. I was no longer worried about it. But if I had kept on, I would have sure got a nervous breakdown through it. I was trying to hide a so-called, as it were, thought. But when a person saw this eye, he says, "What? That eye's kind of this one." "Ah, yes," I said, "when you ask for a loan." That's the Scotchman you see coming up. That's the characteristic. We will yet unwrap the material cloak that hides the perfect creation made in his image and likeness. There are many who come to an understanding of this mighty power within, who make serious and conscious efforts to realize health and happiness and abundance, yet they seem to be unable to bring the law into operation. This is because they concentrate on the external and miss the point that in the mind only can conditions be created. It is not always what you want to get. You must build up within. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. The meaning of this is, seek ye the kingdom of heaven within yourselves, and the right use of that kingdom, and all things shall be added unto you. Ask yourselves tonight, before you go to sleep, have I any fears? Then begin to discern what they are, and you will notice that there are bogies in your cupboard. They are skeletons. We must first find the kingdom within so that we can attract, build, materialize in the external. The power is within. The way is within. Wisdom will disclose the source of all power. Therefore, do not worry about the external world. Make the internal real, and the external will soon manifest in a way that will surprise you. What truth that is. When reality is recognized and realized, not that you will know that what it is, but you will know that it is. Whatever you know about anything, you'll know it is relative. You will know it has no power of its own. Anything you can discern, anything you can see and think about is relative. Can you think about God? No, of course not, because if you think about God, you make him relative. Outside yourself. to a great extent, praying to God is making God relative. Jesus said, when you pray, believe you have received and you shall have it. What a mind. He saw clearly that you're making God a relative God.
One chap came to me the other day and he said to me,
you know, this knee of mine, it pains me when I get on my knees to pray.
I said, you don't have to get your knees to pray. Stand up and pray. It's just as good as getting on your knees to pray.
So he says, do you think so? I said, it's exactly the same. It makes no difference where you go or what you're doing or where you're, whether in a church or outside. It is within you what you believe, what you know. Now listen to me. Whatever you think about is relative. If you think about God, you make him relative. You know reality is. I know I am. I know that I am life, that I am. I don't know what life is, but I know that I am. I don't think about it, nor make it an image of it. If I make an image of this life, it is no longer life, it's an image. And listen, ask yourself the question, is your God an image in your mind? Or is he a reality? That's why I'm trying to show you the relative side, so that you'll be able to recognize that which is real. Realize the reality in yourselves. You will realize it once you see all things that are relative. You cannot make an image of God, because you don't know what God is. Therefore, you can't make an image of him. And if you try to make an image of him, you're making an illusion in your mind. And it is not God, but an illusion. Discern the relative and see all your faults, see all your errors, see all the things that are hindering this thing that is real in itself from manifesting itself. All these things surrounding in your mind is preventing you, the real you, from manifesting itself completely in this life. Therefore, discern all this rubbish that is of no value to you, that is hindering your true expression. And don't bother about making an image of God. You're only wasting your time. When we seek wisdom, we become creative. When we express love, we become dynamic. Greatest gift God gave to man was to create within himself first. Then the external world would respond, because the outer is the expression of the inner. Therefore, if I eliminate fear from my mind, I can create, can I not? When I sat down tonight, I had in mind to explain the various functions of the mind. My pen sped on, and now I will finish this lesson by repeating the saying of the Master. Truly, truly, I tell you, the Son could do nothing of his own accord, nothing but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, the Son also does the same. John 5:20. This is the Word. It was in the beginning. The Word that was with God, and the Word that was God, the Word was made flesh. Benediction. O perfect love, I am thine, and thou art mine. So we are one. Thy flame of love has consumed me in its allness and abundance of thy mercy and loving gifts. May all souls on earth worship at thy shrine of love, to be purified in thy cosmic crystal pool of thy love. Help us to forgive one another as thou hast forgiven us, that we may love one another as thou lovest us, and then all souls may be strung together as pearls with the one spirit
of love, for perfect love.
That is humanity today. The unity exists now. That love is the spirit in every human soul. And when we realize, we will be all strung together with that great, wonderful chain of love that binds us together as one family. With all nations become one nation, all flocks become one flock. I have other flocks, and I shall go and gather them together, so that shall be one flock,